good to be back with those who love the gospel and desire to worship the Lord. I remember that first Sunday I came up here, and I told you then to turn to Lamentation chapter 1. So turn there, first of all, Lamentation chapter 1, Isaiah, Jeremiah, then Lamentation. Lamentation chapter 1, Tony mentioned the verse there. Verse 12 was the first message I brought here back those many years ago. I think I was 55, something like that, when I came here. Now I'm pushing 70, so time goes by quickly. Look at verse 12. This is such a powerful verse. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. God planned the cross. God presided over the cross, and God participated in afflicting God's dear Son. So this evening, I'm going to bring a message from Lamentation chapter 3. Turn over there. Lamentation chapter 3. We begin reading at verse 18. Lamentation 3 at verse 18. Now, you got to keep in mind what's happened here in Jerusalem. The city has been destroyed. Many, many people have been carried away into captivity. Many, many people have died. And Jeremiah said, verse 18, Lamentation 3, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. He's saying, I have no hope. It's over. It's over. We're done. Remembering mine affliction, my sin, my affliction, my misery. Now, he doesn't remember the sin of others, but his own sin before God. Remembering my heart, my sin, my misery, the wormwood, the bitterness, the gall of mine own iniquity before God. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled. If God ever shows you something of who you are, you'll be humbled before him. We are but guilty sinners saved by the grace of God. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled. Notice the marginal reference, bowed in me. This, verse 21, I recall to my mind, or make return to my heart. Therefore have I hope. Hope. We have a good hope. Our hope is Christ. Christ is our hope. We have a good hope through grace, as Paul said. It is of the Lord's mercies. We are mercy beggars. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion, his love for us never fails, never fails. God has loved his people with an everlasting love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in our Lord Jesus Christ. His mercies are new every morning. They are new every morning. Verse 23, great is thy faithfulness. Our great God is faithful to every covenant promise. The Lord, verse 24, is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. I hope in him. A hope is not a hope in a hope. A hope is in a person, the Lord Jesus. The Lord is good. Boy, he is good. Gracious unto them that wait for him. Wait upon the Lord. Boy, his blessings are worth waiting for. To the soul that seeketh him, seek the Lord, that he may be found. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation that's of the Lord. Now, that's the verse that I want to camp on for a few minutes, and that is the subject and title of the message, Salvations of the Lord. Have you heard that before? You've heard that before, haven't you? I hope I can tell you something you already know. I remember reading a sermon years and years and years ago, probably 40 years ago. And it was from 2 Corinthians 8:9, where it says, "For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich." And the old preacher said, "People like to be told what they already know." For as much as you know this. We know salvation is by the grace of God. We know we're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know those things because God, if you do know those things, it's because God has taught you those things. So salvation is of the Lord entirely, completely, all of God, all of God. Man contributes nothing. With an exclamation, underline, nothing to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor to the salvation of sinners. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 57, verse 2 says, "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." All things for me. "He shall send from heaven," and he did, "to save me." And he did by his grace. Every believer is persuaded, like Abraham of old, that all that God has promised, he is able to perform. I like that, don't you? Knowing, remembering my sin, my affliction, my guilt, my misery, aren't you glad that salvation is of the Lord? That he accomplished all things for us? The Lord Jesus Christ alone is the power of God unto salvation. And we can say with the apostle, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew or to the Gentile." Therein, in that gospel, is the very righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, from first to last. It's all of grace, all of grace. Salvation's of the Lord. Now, one of the first recorded words we have in the Bible, that our Lord, while ministering in the flesh as a God-man mediator, you remember the words that he spoke in Luke chapter 2, where he said, "I must be about my Father's business." He said in John chapter 4, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." And then he prayed in John 17, "Father, I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do." And then upon Calvary's tree, what did he say? "It is finished." When he put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. So well, so effectual, the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, "Their sin and their iniquity I remember no more." It is finished. Now listen to me carefully. A lot of people in religious circles say, "Well, I'm trusting the finished work of Christ." Now, wait a minute. I'm trusting him who finished the work. And there's a difference. I'm trusting him. Salvation's looking to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the exalted God-man mediator. Salvation's of the Lord. What do we mean when we say that salvation's of the Lord? We mean that salvation is by the total sovereign will power of God. Our Lord again prayed in John 17. He said, "Father, I thank you. You've given me power over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me." He has all power to save. Our Lord Jesus Christ is no weak, anemic Savior. He's no peanut God, as our dear pastor used to say. He's God Almighty. Lord God Almighty, Revelation 4, verse 8. He's the Almighty God. What do we mean when we say that salvation is of the Lord? We mean that salvation is by the sovereign will of God, not the will of man. Salvation is always determined, dependent, and accomplished by the Lord's purpose. His purpose and his grace given us in Christ before the world began. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. What do we mean when we say that salvation is by the grace of God, not by the deeds of our sinful flesh? We mean the whole of the work is all of God's grace. That means all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, being justified by his grace, freely by his grace, through the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That salvation that's all of God, all of his grace. I love this scripture. I love all of them. But we have our favorites, don't we? Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Now notice how that's read. You know, a lot of the modern translations want to change that word from of to in. Salvation is through the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, not through our faithfulness. It's through his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. We listened to that hymn. That was so lovely. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord God Almighty. What do we mean when we say that salvation is of the Lord? The whole of the work whereby lost, dead, sinners, rebels against God, guilty sons of Adam that are justified, saved, and sanctified and redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and of him only. Of him only. Have you heard these things before? Oh, they're sweet to our ears, aren't they? They're sweet to our ears. You remember this verse? I remember a Water and Works preacher one day showed up on my doorstep over at our church there in Zebulun, Pike County, and he wanted to come over and pick a fight with me. He challenged me to a public debate, and I said, the gospel's not up for debate. You go ahead and preach what you want to preach. I'm going to preach the truth. But on the way out, I said to him this verse. I quoted to him this verse, and he looked at me so strange because his theology and his idea that he was put in Christ by what he did, by his water baptism, by these different things. But I quoted this verse. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That, according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory only in the Lord. But of him are you in Christ Jesus. How does a man get in Christ Jesus? Out of your hands. Out of your hands. You were put in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. God chose us in him. Salvation is not something we do for God or something we do for ourselves. Salvation is something God must do for us and in us. For us and in us. God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Christ in you is a hope of glory. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega of all our salvation. He's the beginner of it. He's the beginning of it. And he's the end of it. He's all of it. Alpha and Omega, our God which was and is to come. We have in the Lord Jesus Christ an everlasting salvation. I love this scripture. We're studying through the Revelation right now, and it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. But these verses in Revelation 1, talking about our faithful great high priest, our faithful prophet, priest, and king, he loved us, and he washed us from our sin in his own blood. To him be honor, all the honor and glory and blessing, both now and for a little while. Forever. Forever and ever. You see, it's God who saved us. It's one of my favorite verses right here. Paul sitting in a dungeon in Rome, waiting to be executed for preaching the gospel. And he writes back to young Timothy. And you know what he says? He said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Remember now, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Remember who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. I love those two words, purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. An eternal inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. All the way through the Bible, the message is salvation's of the Lord. All the way through the Bible, that's the message. Salvation's of the Lord. Moses declared it. And you remember when they crossed through the Red Sea? They were up against it, weren't they? And Moses said unto the people, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation that is of the Lord, which he shall show you today, for the Lord shall fight for you. Well, we know who won that battle, don't we? Pharaoh and his armies were destroyed, and Israel walked right through. And they sang on the other side praises to the Lord. Jonah declared that message, didn't he? In a very unusual place. He said, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed salvation of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. David declared that same message in Psalm 37. But really all the Psalms are about that same Lord who accomplished salvation for us. The salvation of the righteous, that's of the Lord. Now, I'm telling you things you already know. If God's taught you the gospel, you know that God saved you on purpose by his grace, according to his eternal counsel and will. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Simeon in the temple, remember? Waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah to come on the scene. He was waiting for the Redeemer, and God had told the old man that he would not die till he'd seen the Messiah, till he'd seen the Redeemer. And he picked up that baby child, the man child, the God man, God incarnate in human flesh. He said, Lord, I'm ready to die. I've seen thy salvation. Salvation in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when a man's ready to die, when he's seen the Lord. When he's seen the Lord Jesus Christ as all of his salvation, not part of it, not some of it, but all of our salvation. Let me die in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Salvation that's of the Lord is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is in a person. You've heard this before. Salvation is in a person, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not in a pool, not in a profession, not in a persuasion, but in a person. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life. In Philippians chapter 3, you remember old Saul of Tarsus, so religious until he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, what things were gained to me, now I count them all but loss. Dung and ruin, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we might win Christ and be found in Christ. That, my friend, is salvation. John put it this way. He that hath the Son hath life. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God does not have life. Salvation's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to tell you something you already know. Salvation's of the Lord. You got that point, right? My dear pastor, Brother Henry Mahan, used this outline many times, and he borrowed it from another preacher who preached this outline in 1857. And Brother Henry preached it many times, and I've preached it many times, and I trust some of you have too. And I trust that your pastor has as well. Salvation's of the Lord in that he planned it from all eternity. Salvation's of the Lord in its origination, its execution, its application, its sustaining power, and its ultimate perfection. All the way through, from Alpha to Omega, the beginning, the ending, salvation's all of the Lord. So let's look at those five things. Salvation's of the Lord in that he planned, provided, and purposed it from all eternity. Salvation is older than creation. Salvation is older than creation. God planned salvation. Without God's purpose, which is an eternal purpose, salvation would not have been provided. The Lord Jesus Christ, we read in Revelation 13:8, Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was a sinner, the Savior stood. Before Adam sinned, the Lord Jesus Christ stood as a surety. Salvation was not an afterthought of God when Adam sinned. God didn't scramble around to find a solution. The remedy was already there, waiting to be revealed. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, we read in the Hebrew letter, he's a surety of a better covenant established upon better promises. The surety of the covenant stood guaranteed and certain and sure because the Lord Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. We are redeemed through the blood of that covenant sacrifice. The God of peace who brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Peter said, we are redeemed not with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days for you. What a blessing. What a blessing to know that salvation is of the Lord in that he planned it. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands, Peter said, have crucified the Lord of glory. Oh, but God raised him from the dead. Delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. You remember from Matthew chapter 25, where the Lord said, all nations shall be gathered before him. At the judgment, the sheep shall be on the right hand and the goats on the left. And he shall say unto them on the right hand, enter ye in, blessed, into the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. You see, salvation of the Lord in its origination. It originates with him. He planned it. He purposed it. Second thing is this. Salvation of the Lord in that he performed it, purchased it, executed it, accomplished salvation. The salvation of his people. You remember, called his name Jesus. Why? Savior. He is what he's called. He shall save his people from their sin. Salvation of the Lord in that he performed it, accomplished it, purchased us with his own blood, executed and accomplished the salvation of his people. Feed the church of God. You remember Paul to the elders at Ephesus? Feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He said, you're bought with a price. God is going to enjoy what he bought. He's not going to lose one of his sheep. And he's going to enjoy and take home all the sheep of Christ. And he's going to enjoy them forever. We are bought with his blood. He put away sin. Sin's a pretty difficult thing to put away. When he by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You reckon he got it done? You reckon he tried to put sin away and failed? Or you reckon he was successful in all that he did? Well, if you read the word of God, Isaiah 42 verse 4 said he cannot fail. He cannot fail to put away the sin of his covenant people. That's why he's called the Savior. He shall save his people from their sin. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous. Sinners. Sinners to repentance. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. So salvation of the Lord in its origination, salvation of the Lord in its accomplishment. Thirdly, salvation of the Lord in its application. How does this apply to us? Well, it's of the Lord. It's of the Lord. Listen to this scripture. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will. He'll perform it. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's the Lord that quickens the dead. You hath he quickened who were dead. It's the Lord who causes a sinner to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's of the Lord. You see, we only believe the gospel according to the working of God's mighty power. We preach the gospel and leave folks alone. Leave folks in the hand of God. He'll make application to the sheep of Christ. You don't need to beat up and browbeat people, buttonhole people, invite people to make a decision for Jesus. That, my soul, that's not salvation. Salvation is Christ in you. That salvation is God invading your heart, your mind, your soul, and making you a new creature in him. It's a work of God in you. It's the Lord that makes us willing in the day of his power. How does he make himself willing? You ever think about that? Thy people shall be willing in the day of his power. Psalm 110 verse 3. You know how he makes us willing? He makes himself irresistible. Oh, I got to have, once he reveals himself to you, reveals to you who you are, and then shows you who he is, oh, you'll fall in love with him. You'll willingly embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. John said, it's recorded in John, the Lord said, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. And he draws us irresistibly, effectually, and he draws us to himself. It is the Lord who calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a purchased people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God, you remember that verse over there in, what is it, 2 Corinthians 4:6? God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in your heart to give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that shines in the face of Jesus Christ. God commands that light to shine, and when he commands the light to shine, oh, it'll shine. When it pleased God to reveal his Son in me, Paul said immediately, I didn't have to consult anybody. It's the Lord, salvation of the Lord. It is of the Lord who sovereignly grants and gives mercy. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Sovereign mercy. I will have mercy. Oh, I will have mercy. He is merciful. His mercies are new every morning, but his mercies are sovereign. I will have mercy on whom I will. You see, it's the Lord alone who grants and gives us faith in him. Faith is called, we all know that verse, don't we? It's a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. But do you also know that not only faith is a gift of God, but repentance is a gift of God too. Our Lord was exalted to give repentance unto Israel. And where you find faith and repentance, where you find repentance, you find faith. They always come together, and both are sovereign gifts of God. When he gives you a repentant heart, you'll repent. When God grants you life in Christ Jesus, you'll believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as that are ordained to eternal life, they'll believe the gospel. We only believe according to the working of his mighty power. And then the next verse tells us what kind of mighty power that he's talking about. It's the same mighty power that raised the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ from the grave. Now that takes power. That's what salvation is. It's a resurrection from the dead. God raised you up and quickened you and made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Number four, salvation of the Lord and its sustaining power. Its sustaining power. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. We are kept by the power of God. We are kept by his power, God, through faith. Faith never stops looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither can any man pluck them out of my hand or my Father's hand. The Father who gave them to me is greater than all. No man can pluck them out of his hand. I, my Father, we are one. All that the Father giveth to me, they shall come to me. And those that come to me, they're never going to perish. You see, salvation of the Lord in its sustaining power. He keeps us. He sustains us. He gives us daily grace and grace for every trial. Here's the last thing. Salvation of the Lord in its ultimate perfection. Its ultimate perfection. You don't need to turn and read this with me. But if you want to, you can. But you all know this scripture. For whom he did foreknow, Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Don't be afraid of that word. Predestinate or predestination. It's a glorious, glorious truth. And I tell you what I found over the years. You know who believes in predestination? Those who are predestinated. They believe. When God is pleased to take that word and reveal that unto you, predestination has to do with God taking those chosen elect people and conforming them to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer wants to be just like Christ, don't you? Well, that's what predestination is all about. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Already done. You see, salvation of the Lord in its ultimate perfection, end and goal, to be just like Christ. The elect of God are predestined to be conformed to the image of our Lord. The disciples asked the Lord, well, who then can be saved? Our Lord, looking upon them, said, with men, it's impossible. Who then can be saved? Well, with men, it's impossible. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. Anything too hard for the Lord? If God saved me, I don't despair of him saving any man. His grace is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. As sure as there is salvation in Christ, and I'm sure of that. Our Lord said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. As sure as there's salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be sure of this. There's no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what Peter and John said at that council? They're in Acts chapter 4. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Don't look for salvation anywhere else. It's in Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now, salvation is of the Lord, totally, completely, only of him, by him, and through him, to his own glory. To his own glory. Now, what sets this ministry apart? This ministry here that God has established, it's evident, isn't it? God has established this ministry. He's got his hand. We prayed and prayed. The 6 years I came here, we prayed, Lord, send us a pastor after your own heart. The Lord answered that prayer. The Lord answered that prayer. But what sets this ministry apart? It's the message. The message. That's what sets this ministry apart. You can't go anywhere else in this town. I can say this, I think, with a measure of confidence. You can't go anywhere down there in the church circle. Ain't nobody down there preaching anything. Ain't no, these big, highfalutin, high-powered churches, ain't nobody preaching salvation of the Lord down there. Not happening. Every one of God's servants, that's the message they're taught of God. They're not afraid to preach it. They're bold in our God. It's our message. That's what sets this ministry apart. It's the message that's preached here. Week after week after week, Brother Gabe preaches salvations of the Lord. In one way or another, he preaches that message. You young men who are preaching, I'm thankful for you. Keep preaching this message. God will bless it. God will bless it. Don't try to trim it down. Make it palatable to the flesh. Don't take the offense out. If you take the offense out, you take the power out. We are determined to preach Christ and Him crucified as all of our salvation. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servant for His sake. His sake. I thought of this one psalm. I love preaching through the Psalms. Psalm 118 says this. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. It's marvelous in our eyes. Well, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Have I told you something you already know? Well, that's good. That's good. Lord bless you.